Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
If you have not heard about NAYC, North American Youth Congress, and what took place that week, I would encourage you very strongly to find one of those students in that video and get them to just tell you what happened that week. It was an incredible week, and I'm going to get more into that in a little bit. But once again, our students, just they're awesome. They are completely incredible, and I love them with everything. And they represent me and Pastor in this church very well. So those of you that went to NAYC, I applaud you. I thank you for a wonderful week. So I am up here again. This is our back-to-school prayer, and so we wanted to kind of talk about our students for a little bit, and Pastor asked me as youth pastor to come and just give an update of Alliance, of our students, and what has happened over the past year and where we're at and where we're going. And, of course, I said yes because I love to brag on my babies over there. A year ago tomorrow, Lakin and I stepped into the role as youth pastor. And little did I know that that was going to be the most incredible journey that the Lord has opened up in our life to date. I need to say thank you to a couple of people because they've been with us from the beginning. First, thank you to Pastor and Sister Nealon. They trusted us with these students, and they have done nothing but support us and gotten behind us and encouraged us. And I very much appreciate that. Having a pastor that I know is covering us in prayer is just a wonderful thing. I need to say thank you to our staff, Chelsea and Oscar, Caitlin. Y'all have been good to us. Y'all have gone with all of our crazy ideas, and y'all just make it work. And we couldn't do what we're doing without y'all. All of our youth workers, I think there's 9 of you, so I'm not going to call you by name. These are junior and seniors in high school that decided they wanted to invest in their youth group, and so they signed up to be a youth worker, and they have just been incredible, from setting up chairs to having prayer meetings and having monthly meetings, and they've just gone along with it. And so I'm very proud of y'all. And I need to say thank you to my wife. This past year has been, like I said, an incredible journey. But while we're leading the youth, she was also finishing up nursing school. And those of you who have not gone to nursing school, it is something in and of itself that you've just got to experience to understand. But being married to someone that's going to nursing school, I think, is the second worst thing that can happen. Late nights, no weekends, no off time. There's no off days. And so while going through that, she's stood by me and supported me and all my crazy ideas and all my late night ideas. And, hey, let's run up to the church and do this and do this. And it's 2:00 in the morning, and she's okay right there with me after she's been studying for 8 hours. Luckily, that season of our life is ending next Friday. Praise the Lord. She will be graduating. But I could not ask for a better partner in crime, partner in ministry. Students, I'm going to tell you that woman sitting right there absolutely loves you. She prays over you. She has become a mother to some of you, and she absolutely loves you more than you know. And I appreciate that, knowing that we have a youth pastor's wife that's going to do whatever it takes to make sure her babies are taken care of. So, like, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I thank you. So the past year, we've had some ups. We've not too many downs. We haven't gotten too down, but we've done some incredible things. We've had events like Worship by the Water, where we took 45 young people and went to the park in Lake Charles and just worshiped. And we had worship, and we hung out, and we had fun and games, and we've done altitude trips, and we've done all that. But my favorite events of the year, I'm going to talk about each of them just real quick. Youth retreat. I thought I knew what it took to plan a youth retreat until I did it. I've been on staffs, I've been on the committee when we did youth retreats, and just, yeah, it's a lot. And so it's a lot of prayer, it's a lot of time, it's a lot of energy. But when you see we had 40 young people take a weekend out and focus on the Lord for the whole weekend, focus on spending time with each other, it makes every second, every penny worth it. It makes it worth it. And our students did that. They took time out of their schedule, out of their school, because of it. I don't know if she's here tonight, but Hallie Hastings got the Holy Ghost on that trip. Our students prayed with her, and by the time I got over there, she was already basically speaking in tongues, and I just got to celebrate with them. And they took it on themselves, and they just were incredible that weekend. We had a great weekend. We did a thing called Tribes, and that was another one of my crazy ideas. It's like, hey, let's split everybody into four groups and see how this goes. And so it did, and our staff made it work, and they absolutely loved it. We had some competition, not always friendly, but we had to rein it in. And our students just had a great weekend, and so that was definitely a highlight for me. And then, obviously, the most recent, you just saw a video of it, was NAYC. NAYC was probably one of the most incredible weeks of my life. I got to see our students and the hunger that they have to serve the Lord. And that is what I took away from that. We have a group of young people that absolutely, wholeheartedly want to serve God and want to do His work. I'll share just a couple of quick stories and then I'll kind of move on. But we were getting ready to go to church one night. We all met in the hotel lobby, and there was a gentleman. He came up to me and he asked what we were there for, and so I told him, and he told me his name. He said, I need you to remember my name because I need you to pray for me. And I said, okay. And he said, well, I just got out of the psych ward and I'm a drug addict, and I've been trying to fight it, and I've just been really struggling and battling. And I said, okay, well, we'll pray for you. I said, but, you know, we can pray for you right now if you're okay with that, if you're comfortable with that. And he said, would y'all really? And his eyes lit up, and I said, absolutely. And so we kind of went off to the side, and several of our young people came over and laid hands on the man. We didn't know him. We knew his name, but we didn't know him. Don't know how he ended up at that hotel. But they laid hands on him, and when we got done, he had tears in his eyes, and he just looked at us and said, thank you. He said, when you prayed for me, I felt something happen. Our students have seen the power of prayer. I have a picture, hopefully. There's a waitress that we ended up going to Steak and Shake on the way home. And it may be a little difficult to see, but these are two of our young people praying with this waitress. And when we got to Steak and Shake, they were pretty busy, and so they were trying to rush us up and all that and get us seated and gave us food. And we were kind of trying to make our way out because they had been so busy. Well, Abby Whitman, is she here tonight? Abby's here. She came up to me and she said, Cameron, there's a waitress here that her dad had open heart surgery this morning, and we need to pray for her. And I said, okay, well, you know, figure out which one it is. And the waitress overheard the manager telling Abby about it, and I could tell she kind of was frustrated. She rolled her eyes and just kept walking. And so I told Abby, being flesh, and I just said, look, we'll gather outside. I didn't want to, cause a big scene or whatever. I said, we'll gather outside and we'll pray for her, you know, whatever she needs. And then I turn around and Abby and Amaya have taken her by the hand, not making a big deal, not making a show, but they've taken her by the hand and they started praying for her. And I told Abby, that's the one time that I'm okay with you not listening to what I said. Because she was being more spiritual than I was. She was being more like Jesus than I was at that time. But that was on our way home, and, you know, I didn't want an incident at Steak and Shake on the way home. But Abby was being led by the Spirit. And she grabbed this waitress' hand, and she prayed for her. And the manager came up to me and a parent that was with us and said, your young people give us hope. She said, you don't see the respect and the things that they've done. We had another young person that paid for a lady's meal at Steak and Shake. She said, you don't see that nowadays. Your young people have given us hope. Thank y'all for coming in today. one last story and I'll move on, but there was a restaurant that we ended up at after church every night called Gingham's. I'm hoping that that's an appropriate word. I really don't know what it means, and maybe it's somebody's name. I don't know, but it was Gingham's, and it was great for the week. They stayed open 24 hours. They had good food. They were super easy to deal with. When you're trying to find 40 people somewhere to eat at 12:30 at night, it can get a little sketchy. But we found Gingham's, and it was sent from heaven. And our students will agree. But there was this waitress there, and her name was Janet. And Cameron Miller, of all people, was being waited on by Janet. And he got to talking to her. I don't know how he talked her into it, but he talked her into singing for us. She apparently was a singer, and so the Thursday night we were there, he stopped the whole restaurant. I mean, he made an announcement, and everybody was listening. And Miss Janet sang for us, and she did a good job. She really did. And so the next night we went back, and he talked her into singing again. And so I was up paying for my meal, and one of the girl taking the card and stuff, she was like, "Is Janet singing again?" And the manager said, "Yes, she's singing." And so I could tell, I don't know, maybe they didn't like it. We liked it. So I went back over to expect, kind of just everybody gathering up their stuff. And all of our young people had stretched out their hands towards Janet and was praying for her. And then Sister Nealon hugged her and prayed for her. And when she left, or when we went to leave, all of our young people started telling her that they loved her. And she said, "We say that all the time," she said, "but I really do feel that from y'all. I really do feel love from y'all." And that was all on their own. I didn't prompt them to do any of it. It was 1:30 in the morning. I was just there to eat, but they were there to be a light, and they did that. And so to say that I'm proud of the group of students that I have the honor of leading is an understatement. You guys are incredible. You make it easy for me to come to church and to work and to do what I've been called to do. I really feel like the Lord has put us in this season for a reason, and our students make it so much easier to spend time in prayer and to spend time preparing. And I am convinced 100% that we have the best youth in the world. In the world, and I mean that. So I'm just going to, just a few minutes, and I'm going to wrap up. But where we are now, that's kind of where we've been the past year, where we are now. At camps this summer, I really felt like the Lord gave me a very clear direction for Alliance. And this is what it is, and I'm just going to share so that you know what's going on in youth services. He told me, number one, that we needed to stop praying for revival and start praying for harvest. And when I first said that in youth service, they were kind of like, whoa. But here's why. When we think about a revival, we think about all these people just showing up, just coming in the doors, and they get filled, and then they stay. When you think about a harvest, that means we've got to put some work in. We've got to go out and plow the fields. We've got to go out and sow the seeds. And then we've got to go out and reap. And that's what the Lord has called this youth group to do. The Lord has called this youth group to see a harvest in De Quincy. And so for the past month or so, we've tried to change our vocabulary a little bit. We're looking for a harvest now. We're looking for the field to be ready. On the way back from NAYC, we passed, I guess it was a cornfield or something, and from the back of the van I hear, "Hey, Cameron, stop. The harvest is ready." Okay. But that means they're listening, so I'm okay with it. But that's where we are. We're getting our minds ready for a harvest. And the second thing that the Lord told me is that the harvest that we're going to see comes from a personal daily devotion. That's taken a little bit of explaining, because when you want to harvest, that means you go out and you reach others and you talk to others and you sow seeds in others. But before we can ever do that, we've got to get ourselves right. We've got to get our minds right. We've got to make sure that we're in the right place. And here's what happens when you truly get a daily devotion with the Lord. And I'm talking about when you pray and you read your Bible and you fast. That's our three our three big words right now in youth is pray, read your Bible, and fast. There's not a time that we meet that they don't hear those three words come out of my mouth, because that's what it's going to take to reach our harvest. Because when you start doing that, something changes on the inside of you. And people will start to see that. And so while you may not be outwardly expressing, inviting people to church and going out and dragging them in, what you're doing is you're changing yourself and you're becoming more like Christ. And when we become more like Christ, that's when people start to notice. And that's when things start to change. And that's when people start to ask questions. And that's when we have a chance to sow seeds into their life and then cover them with prayer and fasting and watch those seeds come to bear fruit. So right now in Alliance, we're becoming harvesters. We're getting ready for the harvest. And this week, we're about to go out into our harvest field. Students, I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm going to take some time out and speak directly to you. When you go into that school Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever you go back, you're walking into your harvest field. You're walking into what we've been praying about. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that God has chosen each of you for this time and for this place. You go to different schools, but there is a reason that you are here, or that you're at that school at this time in eternity. You have been chosen for this particular harvest field. For this harvest field, and that's what you're walking into. All of our preparation, all of our prayer, all of our fasting has hopefully equipped you to go out into the harvest field this week. Parents, I would encourage you, remind your students of that. As you're dropping them off, remind them they're not just going to school. They're going to do the work of God. They're going to the place that they can make eternal difference. And I'm going to take it a step further. When you go to your job, you're going into your harvest field. God has opened a specific door for you to be there with those people. And so I would encourage you, on the days where you don't necessarily love your boss, love them like Jesus would. On the days that you don't necessarily get along with your coworkers or the people sitting next to you in class or your teachers, remember, you're not there just because it's school or just because it's a job. You're there because God's opened a door for you to be a harvester in that field. Students, there's going to be days that you don't want to get up and go to school. If I asked you to raise your hand, I'm not going to, but if I asked you to raise your hand, if you were just not excited about waking up early every morning and going to school, most of you would. But I'm going to ask you, are you excited about doing the work of God? Are you excited about making a difference in His kingdom? Because that's what you've been called to do. You've been called to make a difference in your school, in your job, in your offices, in your classrooms. You are called to be a harvester in that field. And that's how I'm going to wrap it up tonight. I'm going to ask if everyone could please stand. We're just going to lay hands on or grab the hand of the person next to you if you're comfortable. Put a hand on their shoulder. And we're just going to ask God to remind us of that. As we go out into our week, as we go into these new schools, as we go into our jobs, ask God to remind you or the person next to you that you're called for a reason. You're called to be a harvester in that field. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I'm asking you that, Lord, a wave of passion would rush over this place tonight, God. Lord, and that our people would become hungry and passionate for doing your work, Jesus. Lord, you've placed them exactly where they are for a reason, God. Lord, you've equipped them with what they need, Lord. And as they go out into these schools, as they go out into their jobs, Lord, I'm asking you that there would be a hunger in them to do your work. Lord, give them a hunger for your word, a hunger for prayer, God. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I'm asking you to go with them this week in Jesus' name.
Amen. In the name of the Lord. Cameron, that was really good. I'm very, very proud of you. Just remain standing, if you would. About a year ago, as Cameron said, we felt it good in the Holy Spirit to bring Cameron and Lakin on. And Cameron is full-time as administrative assistant and youth pastor. And, of course, as you heard, Lakin is going to school. But they're doing an excellent job. and our youth camps and in organizing all of that, and NAYC and organizing that. I really do appreciate this couple. You know, they haven't had it easy, but you know, it's like I told Cameron, everything you go through is a setup for where you're going. It's a setup for where you're going, because the day's going to come, Cameron, you're going to have some students in your office and you're going to be able to say, I've been there, I've done that, I've experienced that. And I just want to tell you, somebody who's been there and done that, God is faithful. If he brought me through, he'll bring you through. That's right. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. To all of our guests, to all of our teachers, to all of you that are here, thank you for being here tonight. We sincerely appreciate it. And we're going to do a couple of things. One, we're going to pray for the needs of this assembly, because at the end, we're going to pray for our educators, students, principals, faculty, staff, and teachers. So that's going to come at the end. But for now, I want us to pray for your needs. And I just want us to remember Sister Marlene. Sister Marlene Gillis needs our prayer. We're going to lift her up in Jesus' name. We're going to remember Brother Paul Brown. We're going to lift him up. And also Brother T. Copeland. He lost his sister, and that funeral is going to be tomorrow. I believe that Sister Valerie Larvadan is going to be having surgery tomorrow. We're going to lift her up. If you have a need, would you just lift your hand? Because God knows it. In the name of Jesus, every hand raised represents a person. It represents a situation. Father, tonight, we come to you, Lord, on behalf of these needs and your people. We lift up every name that we just called. We lift them up, Lord, to you. And we thank you for being an on-time God. We thank you, Lord, for working in each and every situation, Lord. And we thank you that you are the God of more than enough. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and we give you praise. And everybody say amen. Just turn around and greet somebody. Say something nice to them. Hey, you look nice. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Praise God. If you would just remain standing. The Lord is good, isn't he? He's great. He's greatly to be praised. This coming up year, Trey's going to be going back to LSU. He'll be leaving next week. He's going into his third year. He'll be a junior in med school. And God has truly blessed this young man. And I'm very thankful for Trey, and I'm very thankful for Molly. God has been better to me and Janet than we deserve. And this year, Trey goes into what is called clinicals, which means he will not have a full summer off. He will be going to school from next week for a full year. They'll give him a week off, 2 weeks off, interval times, but he doesn't even know when that is. But since Trey's been at school, he's already brought one young lady, and God baptized her with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Her name is Summer, and God is radically changing her life. He's brought a young man to church, and he just got baptized in Jesus' name just about a month ago. Isn't that great? And then another young lady, her name is Storm. And Storm, God is doing a great work in her life. And there's no physical attraction to these young ladies. They're just friends and they're in the same class. But if I may say so, God's light is shining through. And for that, I'm very thankful. And So I asked Trey, would you mind just speaking tonight, because again, I don't know how long it's going to be before he's able to make it. It's not like he's not going to ever be at home, but it's just, it's going to be a lot. And I want him to come. And would you receive Trey tonight? Would you receive him? Trey, I want you to. So Trey's going to give us what's on his heart, and then I'm going to come up at the end, and we're going to hand out our prayer cloths, and we're going to pray together, and it's just going to end in a beautiful way. But to my sweet wife, to my sweet daughter, and to Trey, I love you dearly. I love you deeply. To Cameron and Lakin, you have done a phenomenal job, and we appreciate you. Trey, would you come and give us what the Lord has given you?
Well, you can be seated. Thank you. I want to say this. This isn't the perfect message. There isn't a perfect message. But I think this is my love letter to Jesus, is this right here. And I just want to share with you what the Lord has been dealing with me about, and I feel like the Lord is dealing, and it's the next step for TPC and for Alliance. So I'm going to start reading out of Luke 14:25. Y'all can stay seated. It's good. I'm all about the seating. So I'm just going to start. So a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost." Now, we're going to skip down here to spare you some scripture to verse 33. It's about the middle of it. Yeah, 33. "So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile," which I don't know why you put on there anyways. "It is thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Well, first off, I heard a little rustling because you heard, like, to sell everything you own. I'm not coming after your money tonight. You're like, "Oh no, Pastor Key wants some toys, so he must be asking for money." No, I'm not doing that tonight. You're good. You can keep your wallet. It's fine. I'll come take it afterwards. But I also want to mention this, and that is one purpose of the flesh. There's several purposes of it, but one purpose of the flesh is to distract you from your purpose. And tonight, your flesh, it's probably going to get a little uncomfortable, because I want to talk to the purpose of Alliance and TPC. And I want to tell you all this. I have full confidence in Cameron, Lake, and Taylor to lead this youth group. They are awesome. They're amazing. I do want to share one little story, and it's funny. So we're in this restaurant, all right? And Cameron, I'm going to tell on Cameron Miller and Levi, but they were acting up. They were being a little crazy. And I turned around. I said, "Guys," I looked at them. I was like, "I want you to turn down five notches." We get out of the restaurant. They're like, "Ooh, turn it down five notches." Ooh, we got on to them, but it was pretty funny. I was about laughing. They just turned on it. And then we did what the Hope House does. And in the streets, we'd be like doing the Jesus thing. Like, that pumped me up, man. I love doing that. I heard y'all the first time do that. I was like, "That's a little different." And I was like, "That's cool." So we were doing it down the street. We're like, "Jesus." And then, yep, that's what we do. And so people look at us like, "Yep, that's TPC talking about Jesus." So I want to talk about the cost of being a disciple. So how does this really pertain to school? Like I said, I want to really just cast a vision about what we can obtain during the school year. And so I believe that when we become the disciple that God has called us to become, the atmosphere does change. Something changes around us. Our family is going to change, home, school, and administration. No matter how cheesy that sounds, that really is the truth. So what is a disciple? We know there were 12 of them with Jesus, and the good old dictionary describes a disciple as a follower or student of a teacher, a leader, or a philosopher. So before we get any deeper, we're going to hold on to that little definition, and we're going to talk about being a child of God. So we're going to come back to this disciple. We're going to talk about being a child of God. Galatians 4 and 7. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you're his child, God has made you his heir. So, for the most part, a child receives a parent's inheritance. Of course, there are the exceptions, but for the most part, when your parent dies, you will get their inheritance. As a child of God, I have spiritual dominion over the earth right now. Amen. See, as a child of God, I have the right to have a relationship with Jesus. It is my right to know Jesus. As a child of God, I can inherit heaven. That is my reward. I can obtain that. Being a child of God is first being, you know, born of the water, of the Spirit, being repentant. And I'm a child of God. No one can take that away from me. Nothing can take that away from you or I being a child of God. All that my heavenly Father owns, I can obtain it. I can have it. The authority he has, I can have it. See, Pastor's been preaching about this dominion. And it's really gotten in my spirit. And it has really changed the way I think about prayer and about being a child of God. You see, I love being a child of God. But I don't want to just sit and say, hey, I'm a son, and call it a day. Luke 15 tells about the parable of the prodigal son. So I'm going to kind of paraphrase the story. We're going to call it the TNV version, the Trey Neyland version. So the son, this father had two sons. He's got the older son, and he's got the younger son. And so the younger son is like, I'm done with this, man. I want to go do my own thing. Let's go. I'm ready to leave. So the father was like, all right, here's your inheritance. You can go do what you want. Have fun. Bye. So the boy in the NLT says he had wild living. Now, I don't know what wild living was like in the BC, but it was wild living. So he was up there living wild. Man, he was going after it. But then a famine happened and he lost all his money. So he was like, I gotta get something to eat. So he goes to a farmer and he's working for a farmer and he's like, man, what the pigs are eating looks pretty good. And then he realized, hey, my father, he's got servants that eat way better than this. I want to go back to him. Now, I don't feel like I'm a son anymore, but I at least be a servant and I can eat better than this. So the younger son, he goes back home. He basically is like falling on the ground saying, hey, father, I'm not even your son. I'm just your servant. And of course, we all know the father was just super happy. He's like, all right, we're going to throw a party for you. We're rejoicing because you were dead and now you're alive. So they start throwing a big old party. They kill the calf and they're all having a good time. And the older brother comes and he's like, hey, what's going on here? And one of the servants was like, hey, your brother came back and your dad's throwing a big hoopla, a big party. We're having a lot of fun. And the son, the older son, is like, got angry. He said, Dad, I've slaved in these fields. I've done everything you asked me to do, and I've never, ever have gotten anything in return. You didn't do this for me or my friends. Your son spent, money on prostitutes, and you're celebrating him? And this is the scripture that isn't the TNV version. This is the NLT. And it said, his father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. So both sons in the story had a natural inclination. The younger son had the natural desire to leave the roost. Right? A lot of parents in here are hoping for one day the kids are going to leave the roost and they can do what they want, right? I don't know about my mom is weird. She wants to keep everyone. And then the older brother, he decided that, hey, dad's home is safe. This is where the money's at, the power's at. I'm good. I want to stay right here. The older brother understood, hey, I'll do what he says. He's got the power. He's got kind of like the fame, all these servants. Man, I'm doing pretty good. But here's the tragic part about both the sons. The younger one, he got lost. He lost his identity as a son. He said, hey, I'm not really any longer a son. I'm just a servant now. I don't deserve to be a son. And the older one, the tragic part about him, he knew what his dad had. Like, he understood it. He had it all, but he still got bitter. And see, you can still be a child of God and get lost. And you can still be a child of God and get bitter. It can happen. You see, the father told the other son, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. The older son had it the whole time. He probably could have said, hey, dad, can I get a goat and, you know, let my friends have a nice little party because, hey, the Lord gave us another day today. The father probably would have said yes, but he never asked. So I want to play a little what if. What if the younger son had a different revelation of why to leave? What if the younger son said this, Father, I know all that you have for me, and I know what you have. You have the power, you have the wealth, but Father, I want to take what you started here and expand the home territory. I want to expand what we started here at our house. And you know what the father probably would have said? He probably said this, hey, son, take my inheritance with you so that the people know whose son you are, and so that you can have the territory that this home deserves. There's only one difference between the two stories, really. The one I told you about was that the son was going on behalf of the father. The original story was the son was going on behalf of himself. The younger son, if the what-if story, he would still have to leave servants, his friends, his family, but he would be continuing the purpose his father started. So what is a disciple? A disciple is a child who made a decision, a child of God who made a decision that I'm going to walk in complete dominion and carry out my father's will at all costs. See, you see, to become a child of God, you have to be reborn by the water and spirit. This is the spiritual birthing process. But a disciple, that's a different choice. That's a choice paid by a cost. Luke 14 says it. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters. Yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. So, first off, I was like, hating, like the Bible, you know, the Lord didn't say to hate people. Like, what is this really meaning? So digging a little deeper into the scripture, just my study Bible, it had a great explanation, and it said this, instead, true discipleship means that in comparison to the supreme duty to love God, devotion to our natural duties would seem like hatred. Dad says he's left the station. I think my engine's just getting started sometimes. But I tell you this, I know that right now, my love for the Lord is not so big that my love for my family seems like hate. He's not saying to hate your family. He's saying that that you would love him so much that anything else in comparison would seem like you hated it. I'm nowhere near there. I love my dog. I love my mom. I love my dad. I love my sister. I love my friends. I love the Lord, but my love for the Lord has not reached the point where I love him so much that everything else in comparison seems like I would hate it. It comes at a cost. Being a follower of Jesus demands total, unencumbered allegiance. A tasteless or blind disciple, one rendered unfit for unfettered service by competing cares and distractions, is worthless. Judas was a disciple. But he gave it up. He paid a cost. He left whatever was going on in his life. But then as a disciple, he allowed the money. I really do like this stuff, and I want to have it. So he stole. He said it stole from the treasury that the disciples had, I guess, to get around and eat. He stole. And then he got money to crucify Jesus. You see, a disciple getting distracted by other cares is worthless, like Judas. You see, a son, they can get bitter or get lost. See, a son does the father's bidding because he's told to do it, right? My dad tells me to do something, even if I don't like it, I'm going to go do it. But a disciple, it's kind of like the old, you know, the saying, you know, don't ask what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, one of the greatest sayings of American propaganda ever. Here is, in a way, applied to the scripture. It's not, yes, the Lord's going to do it, Not what can the Lord do for me? That's a son's way of acting. But a disciple is like, what can I do for you, Lord, today? You see, that goes from one, that's one level. See, the son can say, hey, I'm going to do it. I've been doing it for 40 years. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay right here and do what you've called me to do. And that's easy, but that son can get bitter real quick. But you know what? When you become a disciple, you make that conscious decision, hey, I'm going to love him. A disciple is a son or daughter carrying out their purpose with radical, unrelenting, relentless, unyielding, obeying love. But it comes at a cost. So you keep saying this cost. So what is this cost you keep talking about? So I'm going to repeat this. I want to show you all the difference. The cost of being a son is to be reborn by the Spirit. But the cost of a disciple is Luke 14:33, giving up everything you own. Now, I'm not saying literally, you know, Trey, you're wanting me to literally go sell my house, sell my stuff, sell my car, sell my clothes, and sit on the side of the street. No. I believe this is what God is meaning. He's meaning that nothing in your life is untouchable. I didn't have this in my notes, but I do want to share this with you. And that was this. I was applying for vet school. And, you know, you say various things like, oh, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a vet, I'm going to do this. And then when you finally get there, it's like, I guess I am going to do this. And I was applying, and I didn't realize how much I truly cared, like how much I really wanted. I really, really wanted it. And there was a point I said, all right, Lord, I got to let this go. If you really don't want me to go to vet school, if this is not what you want, you can have it. Because if I wouldn't have gotten in, thank the Lord I did, but if I wouldn't have gotten in at first before I said this, it would have been a train wreck. I would have been very mad, very bitter. But I finally gave it. I said, you can have it. It's yours. You take it. Nothing is untouchable. And then here's the other thing. So that was something I was allowed to, I gave it away, and God allowed me to take it. Now, some of this might sound insignificant to y'all, but this was pretty big for me. And that was my Xbox. I tell you what. I basically love that Xbox. Like that, you know, if it wasn't, you know, after school, it was Xbox. And I really felt like the Lord was like, it's time to give it up. It's like, man, he told me that a few years ago. I was like, no, I'm good. And then I really like my Xbox. It's enjoyable. And then, again, and I'm about to go into vet school, and I was like, you know what? I really felt like this is what the Lord wants. So I sold it. I said, here it is. And we went on vacation. There was an Xbox at that house, and I played it for a while. I was like, oh, I'm so glad I got rid of that Xbox because homeboy wouldn't be studying. And so there's a reason for it. But now he's asking for a little more. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but one day when I get there, he's asking for a little bit more. And, man, it's been hard. Like I've not wanted to let go. But it's not because he needs it, and it's not because he's a cruel God. Mm-mm. You see, I'm going to talk about being born again. Being born again, here's how I see it. I need help, I need you to change my life, and I need direction. There's very little love that comes in with salvation. On our part, not his part. On his part, there's a lot of love. But on our part, it's kind of like, I just need to be changed and helped. But being a disciple, that's all about love. Hey, it's like, hey, you know, I'm a child, but now I want to be more than just a child. I want to be something else. I want to be a disciple. Amen. So, I was born into the Nealon household. If, Lord forbid, mom and dad were, you know, taken out of this world, I'm still Wayne and Janet Nealon's son. Nothing can take that away from me. But becoming a friend of Wayne and Janet Nealon requires love and a choice. I can be their son and hate their guts. Right? But I don't, right? Mama said, you better not. So, even if I did, I would be lying right now because she would look at me, you better not. So, no, I really do love them. But you cannot love unless you give. If it was all about Wayne, bye-bye, Janet. If it was all about Janet, bye-bye, Wayne. You know, it wouldn't work out. Love isn't give and take. I'm not married, but I can understand a little bit about love, and it's giving and taking. And see, Jesus paid it. He said, here I am, and he laid down his life. So right now, I want to be paying the cost because I want to be a disciple. I want nothing in Trey Nealon's life to be touched. I want it to all be untouchable. Lord, if you want it. if you really want me to give up TV, if you want me to give up the bass boat, if you want me to give up my home, if you want to give up the Instagram, the Snapchat, the Facebook, God, if you're like, you shouldn't buy clothes over $50, then so be it. I want to give up all that he has. I want to give him all that I have. And you say, why though? Why this cost? What's the purpose of this? You sound like a radical Christian. Yeah, I am. So it's okay. But you say why though? Well, what is the purpose of this? Because only being a disciple is what's going to change the world. It's going to what's cause you to create a legacy, and it's what is going to cause you to be a part of an everlasting kingdom. That is the reward to gain of being a disciple. God, you can take it all. Nothing in my life is untouchable. You see, a child does what he or she is told, but the disciple goes the extra mile. And you know what else is nice about being a disciple? You know, the definition says follower of a teacher. When I'm a son, I stay at the home, I'm comfortable. But when I'm a disciple, I'm learning. When you're a disciple, you said, hey, you know what? My way can be changed, Lord. I want to learn. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is willing to say, hey, though I may do it this way, as I walk on that great adventure, Lord, you can change that way. You can do what you want to do. So a disciple is a child of God learning and listening from God while on the adventure of taking dominion. You see, a disciple is what changes the school, is what changes the home, the family, and the community. You see, Jesus changed the world, but the disciples carried it to the world. Though we may not all fly the same flag, I looked this up the other day, there are 2.3 billion Christians in the world today. But it came at a cost. Peter was crucified upside down. Stephen was stoned. John was boiled alive and banished from his home. Paul was in prison. And a little fun fact about Paul, Paul really wanted to preach to the Jews, but God said, you're going to preach to the Gentiles. So he gave that up. But here's the reward. Peter's shadow healed the sick. Jesus never did that. Philip, one of the disciples, was instantly transported to witness an Ethiopian. Paul wrote 12 to 13 books of the New Testament, and John literally saw the end time and wrote the book of Revelation. But it was through the cost. They had to basically give their literal life. But look at them now. We talk about them almost every day. Every Sunday, one of them is probably mentioned. Because they knew, they counted the cost, they knew it, and they knew what the reward was. So, this is the choice. Are you, TPC, willing to become a disciple? See, now the question is this. Do I really, I've had to ask myself this, and I've said no a few times. Do I really love God, Jesus, enough to say, I'll give that up? And sometimes, I'm going to be honest, it's no. I don't want to. But I want my love to be so, I want to be so in love with Jesus that if he said to give it up, I want to give it up. You see, Pastor's been talking about being a son and having dominion. That's the, once we know that, the next step is being a disciple. Am I going to be a disciple? And so I want to share with you a little story. And so here it is. So in India, this is very sad, but in India, young girls were sold or given to the temples and forced into prostitution. And we're talking very young. Like, you know, we would be throwing up if you knew how young they were. Very young. So a young woman named Amy Carmichael. Now, this was in the late 1800s to early 1900s, before women's rights, became a missionary to India and started to take these young girls in. Amy told them about the love of Jesus, and she rescued hundreds of young girls from a life of prostitution, but it came at a cost. Amy Carmichael's sacrifice was that she never married. Now, some of you women are like, oh, she was free. She didn't have no man. But I do make this point. This was in India before women's rights. You know, if anything, it'd been nice to have a man just to get rid of the other men. But I really think that her not marrying is what propelled her to be able to save hundreds of young girls. Why? Because those girls were probably scared of men. But her being by herself and being an humble woman, she was able to save these young girls. And so Amy wrote a poem. I had to change it up a little bit because there was one word in there that no one really understands. Maybe Miss Sanders would, but I wouldn't. So it goes like this, and this is really how a disciple thinks. If thy dear home be fuller, Lord, for that a little emptier my house on earth, what rich rewards that waits for me. God, if my house on this earth has just got to be a little emptier, if I just got to give up this little thing just so that I can carry out the purpose, man, it's all worth it. For what reward is going to await me? Yes, Jesus. What rich reward awaits me? I want nothing. I want nothing in Trey's life. I want nothing in TPC's life to be like, nothing is worth the purpose that God has for us, TPC. Nothing is worth Alliance, the purpose that God has for us. I want to give myself. I want to be a disciple. I'm not there yet. There's stuff I'm still trying to get rid of. But Lord, this is my love story to you. Whatever you want. Whatever you want, you can obtain it. Whatever you want, you can have it. What's the extra mile, TPC, the sacrifice, the cost God is calling TPC to? You see, I'm a son, but I'm choosing to be a disciple. I'm a son, but I choose to be a disciple. Y'all can stand. We're about to hand out these cloths here in a minute. But I want you to grab the neighbor by you, if you don't mind. I want you to pray for them, but I also want you to pray for yourself. I want you to count the cost, because it said, you got to count the cost. Part of that scripture said, hey, if a builder doesn't have what he needs to build a building, then he's going to be look like a fool. We got to count. Lord, is this really what I want, or are we just playing? Am I going to be a disciple, or am I just going to sit here and be a son? Sons, being a child is great, but what the next step is to be a disciple. So, Lord, help me, Lord, to count the cost and know that my love for you is bigger and better than anything else. Lord, help me, Lord, give to me, Lord, the love that you desire, that, Lord, everything else in comparison seems like hate. But, Lord, help me, Lord, to pay the cost that you've desired for me to pay. Jesus, give me, Lord, what you want. Jesus, give it. Let me pay it, Jesus. Let me pay it, Lord. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, can we just lift our hands right now all over this house in Jesus' name? Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Let's just love him right here for a minute. Let's just love the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Both of you young men did excellent tonight. Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of that little song that says, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. Amen. If your spirit moves through me with my whole heart, I'll agree. I'll just say yes, Lord, yes. You say, Pastor, what does the Lord want that he doesn't have? Here's what he wants. He wants your heart if he doesn't have it. He wants your heart, and all he wants you to do is say yes. And if you're running from the Lord, can I tell you, if he ever catches you, all he's going to do is love you. That's all he's going to do. If he ever catches you, all he's going to do is love you. Okay, so mamas, I'm probably going to need your help here, but if you have a kindergartner to the third grade, I want you to get ready to bring that student. And what we're going to do here is there's going to be people at the end of each row. And as you make your way to the front, they're going to hand you a prayer cloth. So if all of my people, all of our people tonight are in place, then as you come through that aisle, they're going to hand you a prayer cloth, and then mamas and babies from kindergarten to third grade, I want you to come up right here and just come up close, all right? You ready? All right, here we go. So we may need some mama's help, some kinder through third, please. Kinder through third. Amen. All right. We got all the kinder through third. Boy, y'all are a good-looking group. Y'all are going to change the world. It's going to happen the first day of school. Amen. All right, just stay up here, mamas and parents and guardians. All right, so now we're going to go from fourth grade to sixth grade. Fourth grade to sixth grade. If you're in fourth to sixth grade, come on. It's preschool, kindergarten, preschool. But now if you're coming now from the fourth grade to the sixth grade. All right. Come on. Okay. Well, you are a good looking group too. All right. Let's go next then from 7th to 9th grade. If you're in the 7th to the 9th grade, come on. These are ones that have all the answers. If you don't think so, just ask them. They'll let you know. Yeah. So 7th through the 9th grade. And okay, good. Now we've got the 10th grade through the 12th grade. Anyone 10th grade through 12th grade? Come on. Y'all going to have to scoot in a little tighter because we've got quite a few more people is going to be coming. All right. 10th through 12th grade. Come on. Okay, we have anybody now in college? Anyone in college? Going into college? Come on. Okay. Now what we want are all of our teachers. All of our teachers, if you will come, please. All of our administrative assistants, if you're a substitute teacher, your administrative assistant, I want you to come. Now we want our principals, vice principals, counselors, any type of administration and staff, we want you to come. Thank you, Lord. And I know it's a little quieter in here tonight, and I'm okay with that, because here's what I found out. I'm not a manufacturer of the anointing. I just distribute it. So I don't push the river. I just flow with it. So I'm good, because the Lord's in this house. And he's been talking to all of us. You know, Cammie, she started a Facebook page. Cammie, in this Facebook page, tell me a little bit about it. It was to adopt a student?
Adopt a teacher and staff in prayer, and that started 4 years ago. It grew larger than what I expected right off the bat. But just this week, in less than a week, over 2,600 has added on to this group, and it is from all over the world.
2,600. now have adopted a teacher and praying for them. That is awesome.
There's over
7,000 in the group. 7,000. And that's so good, Cammie. And you started that right here. And that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to be mindful of your time. I know we've got little ones here, so I'm going to be very mindful of that. But I appreciate all of our students, but I really, truly appreciate all of our teachers, our faculty and staff, principals, assistant principals, and counselors. And you all know this, you're not in it for the paycheck. You're in it because this is a true calling. And I want you to listen to me here just a minute, and I believe what I'm fixing to tell you. You're just as called as I am. What you do week in and week out, day in and day out, is just as much of a calling as this. Because there are people I will probably never meet and never touch. But I want to give you a charge. When you walk into that class on Tuesday, I want us to go in as disciples and as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, understanding that this is my harvest field. And I'm not just called here just to be here. I'm called here to make a difference. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to make somebody thirsty for more of what they see in me. I'm going to be light and I'm going to be salt. And I'm going to just encourage every one of you, when you go to school, is it Tuesday the 13th? Is that when you start? Most of you do. If not all of you, most of you do. I want you to walk in there understanding that you're not just going as a student. You're not just going as a teacher. You are going as a disciple and an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? Amen. In Jesus' name. Now, if all the congregation, if you would help me, and if you would just extend your hands toward all of our teachers, our educators, our principals, let's pray over them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we come to you tonight, Lord, for the express purpose of praying for each and every one of our students. We're praying for our staff, our principals, vice, Lord, principals, assistants, Lord, those who are, God, substitute teachers, those who are counselors. We just pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're covering over each and every one that is here tonight. The covering of the Lord. They're going to put this cloth in a backpack. They're going to put it in a book. They're going to put it somewhere, Lord, as a sign of the covering and the angelic host. I pray, Lord, for our elementary schools all the way to our high schools, that the angels of the Lord would encamp around about them. God, that we, Lord, would not, Lord, see tragedy, Lord, in our schools, but that we would see, oh God, our schools flourishing and thriving and the grace of God and the glory of God upon us, and that your purpose, Lord, will prevail in each and every day as we go to school, knowing that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ in the name of the Lord. Now, you that are adults, whether you be a mom, whether you're an educator, it matters not. I want you to place your hand upon that child all over this house. And if your son or daughter is up here, I want you to come up here and place your hand upon them tonight. If your grandchild is here, I want you to come and place your hand upon them. If you're an auntie or an uncle or a grandparent, I want you to come and I want you to place your hand upon this child. If your wife is down here and you're a husband, I want you to come and I want you to place your hand upon that child in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do y'all realize two things that these young men talked about? Number one, if we go into our harvest field this year, and if we are a disciple, and we just brought one person with us, do you understand that this place would be totally full this time next year. Here's what me and Janet are talking to Trey and Molly about right now. Who's going to be your disciple? Who's going to be your disciple? Who's going to be your disciple? Who are you going to be an ambassador to of the love of God, the goodness of God? We want to make disciples, not just Christians. We want to make disciples because that's who's changed the world. Would you put your hand on that friend, that child, that grandchild, and I want you to pray God's covering over them. In the name of Jesus, Father, Lord, we come to you again and we pray as parents over every one of our children. Father, I plead the blood right now over Trey and over Molly in the name of Jesus. Father, as Trey goes to school, we pray, Lord, let his light shine. God, there's some more, Lord, ladies out there and young men that are out there that do not know you. I pray, God, that they would see your light through Trey. Lord, there's young people in Molly's high school. Lord, they don't know you like she does. I pray, God, you're covering around about her each and every day as she goes to school, God. Let her wake up, Lord, with purpose. Let her wake up thinking, I am an ambassador for Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I, Lord, want to see you take my life and I want to make it count for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray over your people. We pray over our teachers. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Teachers, I'm going to just encourage you. I've never been a teacher. I've never been where you are. And what you're facing today is so different than what we were facing 30 years ago. The situations, the brokenness that these students come with, and I know that you had to be very careful what you say, what you can say, what you can't say. But I'm praying God give you wisdom. Wisdom beyond your years, so that when you come up against something, you can just say, God, I don't know. Holly, I'm praying for you, sis. When you come up against something, you just whisper, God, I don't know. Give me wisdom. How many times, Holly, have I sat in my office and I was counseling someone and I didn't know? I said, Holy Spirit, you know everything. Give me wisdom for this situation. And the Lord speaks something to me at that very moment and I give it to him. And how many times have I heard them say, Brother Neal, that's what I needed to hear. Thank you. And I said, well, all glory goes to God, because I'm going to tell you, I didn't know that. I wasn't thinking that, but the Holy Spirit knows. And my brothers and sisters, God's going to lead you and he's going to guide you as you go into this school this year. He's going to give you wisdom beyond your years. And when problems arise, God's going to give you a word. Anybody agree with me? Let's agree right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray over all of our teachers, our administrators, our staff and principals. Lord, as they come in contact with situations that, Lord, literally we just don't know the answer. We pray, God, at that very moment that you would give us the word to say. Let the Holy Spirit, Lord, lead us and guide us and give us wisdom, God, beyond our years. Wisdom between our ears, God, that we would say the right thing to lead people and to guide them and to help them on their journey, that our light for Christ may shine in us and through us for your glory and for your praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Well, this has been so beautiful. Really appreciate this service. And I'm going to just ask if Kaylee would come. And I just want us to sing that song, Yes, Lord, Yes. Teachers, we're praying for you. And we're believing this is going to be a great year. Go in with a great attitude. God, you're going to help me to deal with these knuckleheads in Jesus' name. And you're going to help me to love them through the love of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. God, you're going to help me. God's going to help us. The Lord's with us. He's going to help us. He's going to give us grace to see us through. Turn around and give some love away. Let your students know you're proud of them. Let our teachers know we love them. Love all of you.
Message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.